So this is a pretty simple farm question. You need to know the mechanism of action of spironolactone is that it's an aldosterone receptor antagonist. The only small challenging detail here is, is it cortical or medullary collecting duct? It's the cortical collecting duct. That's where the majority of aldosterone receptors are going to be. So aldosterone will normally bind to its intracytoplasmic receptor. It's a steroid hormone, binds to intracytoplasmic receptors. In the cortical collecting duct, it's going to cause increased gene transcription that's going to result in increased sodium potassium ATPase activity on the basolateral membrane of the cortical collecting duct tubular cell in the kidney, and that's going to lead to increased potassium secretion from the blood into the cell, ultimately making its way into the urine. That's why we get decreased serum potassium when aldosterone's up. And it's that ATPase pump is also going to be bringing sodium, reabsorbing sodium from the tubular cell into the blood. Now, when that happens, we're going to be decreasing intracellular sodium, which is going to cause a favorable gradient of high to low of sodium from the urine into the cortical collecting duct tubular cell. Then that's going to cause an indirect increase in expression of ENaC on that apical membrane of the cortical collecting duct cell, where sodium can flow from the urine into the cell. And then once again, because we have the ATPase activation, that sodium is going to be brought from the cell into the blood. So aldosterone will cause an increase in serum sodium. Aldosterone also will upregulate proton ATPases, where we cause direct secretion of protons across the cortical collecting duct intercalated cells into the urine, okay? So we get increased serum bicarb, we can get a metabolic alkalosis in the setting of increased aldosterone. That's mechanistically what aldosterone does. Obviously, spironolactone will block all of that. So spironolactone is one of its side effects, can cause an increase in serum potassium. It's a potassium-sparing diuretic. U.S. Emily likes asking you, when you're fluid unloading a patient, what drug can we use to help save their potassium? It's spironolactone. That's one of the high yield answers. Normally, when we fluid unload patients, we use loop diuretics such as furosemide. That's our best, most efficacious drug for fluid unloading patients when they have peripheral edema or pulmonary edema. But of course, furosemide will cause potassium wasting, cause hypokalemia. So if we need to further fluid unload a patient, we use a potassium sparing diuretic such as spironolactone. We can also use ENaC inhibitors such as amiloride or tramadol. Those can more rarely be answers, but I've seen it on the NBME. So spironolactone, various uses. If a patient has an aldosterone-secreting tumor, before you remove the tumor, you could be using spironolactone to block the aldosterone receptors. If a patient has zona glomerulosa hyperplasia rather than a tumor that can be resected, we can use spironolactone to block the aldosterone receptors. And spironolactone in heart failure, it decreases mortality. When we're treating heart failure, we start the patient on an ACE inhibitor or an angiotensin II receptor blocker. That's the first drug we use. If the patient still has low ejection fraction, we add a beta blocker. I'm giving a very very simple generalized algorithm here, but ACE inhibitor or angiotensin II receptor blocker first, then we add a beta blocker. Then if the patient still has low ejection fraction, we can add spironolactone. So that's where it factors in terms of heart failure. A lot we can chat about regarding heart failure, but this question, you just need to know the mechanism of action of spironolactone. You need to know spironolactone can also cause gynecomastia. That's high yield, really, really high yield for STEP. And there's another variant of the drug called eplerenone, same mechanism of action as spironolactone, but there's decreased risk of developing gynecomastia. That's it.